Okay, so the shir is dedicated. Little Nishmas.
Golda.
Golda.
Basra Ben Zion.
Bas.
Bas Harab Ben Zion.
Ben Zion.
And Chashka Bas Aaron Yaakov.
And Chashka Bas Aaron Yaakov. And the Neshama should have an Aliyah based on all the learning that we're going to do today. Okay. So, we are on the bottom of 6A. A dramatic thing, as Mark has said, happened. The egg has hatched. Efrach shenolad b'yantif. So, let's say a chick is born on Yantif. Until now, we've been discussing an egg that's laid on Yantif, and presumably, it wasn't necessarily an egg that would ever form into a chick. Let's say a chick is born on Yantif, hatches on Yantif. So, what's the status of that chick? So Rav Amar Aser v'Shmuel v'Itam Rav Yochanan Amar Mutter. So it's a machlokas Amorayim. Rav says that it is Aser, that you're not allowed to eat the chick, as we will learn shortly why. Both of their opinions. And Shmuel, and some people say it was Rav Yochanan, said that the chick is Mutter to eat. Rav Amar Aser Muksahu. So Rav says it's Aser. We already know the reason basically why. It's Nolad, it's Muksa. It was born on, you know, it was born, it was hatched on Yantif. And the fact is that that's something that came into the world on Yantif. And therefore, there was no hachana, there was no preparation. And therefore, it's not going to be permitted. Right? That we understand that view. The other view is the more challenging view to understand. V'shmuel v'itema rav yochanan amar mutter hol umatir atzma b'shchita. So Shmuel and some people say Rav Yochanan say that the egg... The chick is mutter. Why? Because it was matir atzmo b'shchita. It permitted itself in shchita. So what does that mean? So Rashi explains that what that means is that before Yantif, you weren't allowed to eat it because it was lacking the ability to have shchita because it was still inside the egg. Once it's hatched, so now it gains the ability. It gains a heter. It gains the ability to have a way to make it mutter, i.e. it gains the ability to have shchita, to have a proper slaughter. Since it gains that ability, so it also gains the ability to now become mutter in terms of muksa. It's hard to understand why that is, but that is basically what they say. Rav Meir Simcha of Divinsk asks, why isn't this just like the standard case of muksa? Like we said before, according to the opinion of Rav, the egg is aser because it's nolad. The chick hatches on Yantif, right? So it's nolad. So how could the people, you know, how could Rav Yochanan and Shmuel get around that issue, right? In other words, okay, you're going to say, so now it has the ability to have shchita, so that also gets rid of nolad? Like, what does that mean? So Rav Meir Simcha Devin says, in his Or Sameach, he says that... what it means is like this. Rabba said you need hachana. He said you need preparation. And therefore, something that is born, right, is lacking preparation. The difference is, this is very, very hard to understand. The difference is that only applies to something that was partially in the world. In other words, an egg... Right, let's say that was laid, right? So it was partially in the world. Again, it's very hard to understand what this means. It was partially in the world because it was inside the head. So therefore, when it's laid on Yantif, that's an issue of nolad according to Beis Hillel, that the egg is going to be usher, as we said in the Mishnah. Apparently, a chick inside of an egg is not considered in the world at all. You would think that it would be the opposite, yeah. That it would be a kavachomer, that if something which is partially in the world becomes aser, but he doesn't say that. He says something that hachana only applies to something that was partially in the world, therefore it needs hachana. Something that was never in the world at all and suddenly materialized, like this chick which was now hatched, that wouldn't need hachana. Again, it's very, very hard to understand what that means, but that's what the Or Sameach says the difference is, that hachana only applies to things that were partially in the world and then came into the world. You need hachana. You need verbal preparation or mental preparation before Yantif. But something that wasn't in the world at all, for some reason, the Or Sameach says that doesn't need preparation. And since it now becomes mutter through shchita, that the chick that is hatched is now gets a heter in the sense that it can have shchita, which was lacking before, it also, that takes care of the nolad issue to make it mutter in terms of muksa as well.
Doesn't check have to be a certain number of days before.
So we're going to get to that. So that's another opinion. There's an opinion that says that you can't. These are going within the opinion that you could kill a chick. You could do shechita to a chick right away when it's born. But as we discussed, we already discussed this previously. As Baruch is pointing out, there is an opinion that says that it has to open its eyes. It can't just be right away, right? Like we know by korbanos, we know that an animal that's born, you can kill it right away. But for a korban, you have to wait a few days. So that's, there's a distinction by animals between something that's going to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash and something that you're going to shecht on your own. That's something you're going to shecht on your own, you're allowed to do right away. But something that's going to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to wait till the eighth day. Right? But by a chick, that distinction exists even something that you want to eat on your own. That even something you want to eat on your own, according to some opinions, as we're going to see, you can't kill it right away. You have to wait till it opens its eyes. Right? Which is something that does not exist by an animal. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Amar le Rav Kahana v'Asi the Rav." So now we are challenging. We're going to challenge the opinion that says that the chick that is born on Yontif, that is hatched on Yontif, is Asur. Rav said it's Asur. So the Gemara says that Rav Kahana and Rav Asi ask Rav, "What's the difference between the chick which hatches, which you said is Asur, the Chima ben Zele Egel Shenola b'Yontif?" Right, we know that an animal that is born on Yontif, you are allowed to shecht the animal. You're allowed to slaughter the animal and eat it on Yontif. Right? We never discussed this before. We're always discussing eggs, right? So an animal that's born on Yontif, you're allowed to shecht on Yontif itself. As we said, for a korban, you'd have to wait a few days. But to eat it yourself, you'd be able to kill it right away on Yontif. So the Gemara says, what's the difference between that and the egg that hatches? According to Rav, the egg that hatches, the chick is usser to kill on Yontif to eat. But an animal is mutter to kill on Yontif to eat. So the Gemara says, no, there's a clear disparity. There's a clear difference. Because an animal is inside of its mother, right? Now, theoretically, if you would kill the mother on Yontif, so the animal that's inside it would be matir, we would matir it to eat, right? That the animal inside would not need shechita on its own. And since you could kill the mother and eat the mother on Yontif, you could also eat the animal on Yontif, the baby, right? But the chick, there's no way to be matir it through something else, right? The animal, the reason why when it comes out it's mutter is because when it's inside, right, it's inside the mother, and the mother exists before Yontif, and you can kill that mother on Yontif and therefore and eat the baby. So therefore, when the baby comes out, you can do shechita, huh?
No, because now we're talking about the chicken
after you develop that. If you can get an egg, when you kill a chicken, every often they have eggs inside.
No, but right. But the difference is that it's not an animal. It's inside the mother, right? You kill the mother, you can eat. You eat the animal.
Yeah.
So when it comes out, you could also do shechita to it.
Because
the egg has different steps. The egg, it's not the egg. An egg is different than an animal. An egg doesn't just come out of the hen and then it's a chick. The egg comes out, then it's on its own, then it's on its own on the ground, and then a few days later it hatches, right? So we're talking about the stage where it was on its own already, right? So there's nothing to be, when it's inside the egg, right? When it's inside the egg, you cannot eat it.
On Yontif.
Right.
Why should it be forbidden? It could have been, the mother could have been.
No, it wasn't necessarily laid on Yontif. The case is, it hatched on Yontif.
Not talking about the previous case.
When laid on Yontif, that's a machlokas beis shammai beis hillel, whether the egg is mutter or not.
I'm saying, if you hold that it's laid on Yontif, why is any different for an animal that's geschachten, where it could have been geschachten in the mother, the chicken? The egg could have been inside the mother, and wasn't developed yet. It could have been inside the mother, and it'd been. The mother could have been geschachten and you could have eaten it.
Right. So let's clarify. An egg, there's two types of eggs.
Okay.
Right. There are two types of eggs. Eggs that have a chicken side and eggs that don't. Let's first discuss eggs that don't have a chicken side. So an egg that doesn't have a chicken side, if it is laid on Yontif, it is a machlokes beis shammai and beis hillel whether that egg is mutter. Beis shammai says it's mutter. Beis hillel says it's aser. That's the first mishnah in this thing. Now, the egg that's an egg that does not have a chicken side, that's inside the mother, or maybe it does, whatever. An egg that's inside the mother. So that egg, if you killed the mother hen on Yontif, you'd be able to eat that egg also. Now, those are an egg that doesn't necessarily have a chick.
Not necessarily, but it's quite
right. But what we're talking about now is an egg that was laid by the mother before Yontif, and then it hatches on Yontif. Now, it's not connected. Once it's laid by the mother, it's not connected to the mother anymore.
But it's not going to hatch that day.
Right.
So let's say it laid 2 days before. It was laid. It was laid 2 days before.
That's already an independent entity.
Huh?
Then it couldn't have been. It's an independent entity.
Right, exactly. It's an independent entity, and that's why you can't say, well, since its mother is mutter to kill, it's mutter to kill. That's not true, because it's not connected to the mother. The fetus inside the mother, it's very simple. When the fetus is inside the mother, it's part of the mother. Then it leaves, and then right away it's its own thing, right? The egg has more, it's three, it's not just two steps, it's three. Yeah. It's inside the mother, then it's on the ground inside the egg, and then it hatches. Okay. So therefore, the difference is with the animal, it's inside the mother, and when you kill the mother, it's mutter. So when it comes out, it's mutter also.
But another thing.
But the egg, yes, when it's inside the mother, if you would kill the mother, the egg would be mutter. But we're not talking about that type of egg. We're talking about an egg on Yontif. If you would kill the hen on Yontif and you found the eggs inside, it's mutter.
Okay.
Right? But that's not the egg we're talking about. We're talking about an egg that was laid, and it's on its own now, and then it hatches, right? So that egg, there's no mother anymore. The mother is gone, right? Okay.
But a chicken and egg doesn't depend on the mother for nourishment either. I mean, I don't know if they take that into account.
Well, not at that point.
No. Well, which kind of egg? The egg inside the hen or the egg outside?
No, even inside, it's insulated from the mother.
Right, but you're not eating.
That's part to be developed in the shell.
Right, that's true. But the reason why it's mutter inside the mother is not because it's dependent on the mother. It's because it's viewed as part of the mother, right? It's just like it's the mother's arm is mutter, so the mother's egg, which is inside of it, is mutter. It's not its own thing.
You're a human.
Right. Yeah. Right, we basically view it like that. The shechita matters everything inside of the hen, the arm, every part of the hen, and also the egg inside. So again, we're discussing a egg that was laid. It's laying on the ground, and then on Yontif, it opens, and a chick comes out. So Rav said that the egg is going to be usser. So the question is, what's the difference between that and a animal that is born on Yontif, which is mutter, to eat, to do shechita on it? So the Gemara says there's a clear distinction, right? The egg is muchan. The egg is not muchan agav imo. In other words, as we said before, the animal is inside the mother. So if you would kill the mother, and the mother exists before Yontif, so you could do achana, you could do preparation on the mother, and then if you killed the mother on Yontif, you'd be able to eat the animal inside of it. So therefore, if the animal comes out, you can also eat the animal on Yontif, and you could do shechita on it. The hen is not muchan agav the mother, because it's not part of the mother. It's lying on the ground, and therefore, since there's nothing before Yontif to do achana on, so therefore when it's born on Yontif, you can't do shechita to it.
It comes out on Yontif.
It's hatching. It's not coming out of the mother.
Why would it be shechita? If it came out on the chicken.
We're not talking about
the egg inside the mother.
No, we're not talking about that case. We have to remember, a chick that comes out in an egg and then it hatches from the egg a few days later, right?
Okay.
So
that's happening later on.
Right. We're not right. An egg. If the egg is inside the mother, you could eat the egg. You wouldn't need shechita to the egg. What's there to do shechita on? The case is exactly okay. That's the case is where the egg hatches outside. Yeah. So fine. So the Gemara says, okay, uma bin zeh ego shenola min atrefa. Okay. So you want to say there's a distinction between an egg that hatches on Yontif, because there's no mother, so therefore that's why the egg is forbidden to do shechita to the chick. But the animal that's born, you could do shechita because the mother itself existed before Yontif, and you could do achana, you could prepare the mother, right? So therefore, if you would kill the mother on Yontif, you'd be able to eat the animal. So therefore, when the animal comes out, you could do shechita on it also. But what's the difference between this and a baby animal that's born from a trefa mother? What is a trefa mother? It means a mother that's sick. If the mother is sick, so that's called a trefa. A trefa, we assume, is going to die within 12 months.
Isn't it certain items
that damage
inside the animal?
Oh, yeah. Those items. But the assumption is that those items cause it to die within 12
right.
months.
So that's the assumption.
Right. So the Gemara says, if an animal is born from a mother, which is a trefa, let's say the animal is born on Yontif, you could still do shechita on the animal. Now, based on that, why? Right? Why could you do shechita on the animal? The mother itself is not permitted. In other words, if you would kill the mother, let's say on Yontif, and the baby was inside, you would not be allowed to eat the baby because The mother, it's because the shechita doesn't work to fix the mother, so it can't work to fix the baby. Right, right. It's part of a shreifa, exactly. So when it's so, therefore, you can't use that logic to say, well, since when it's inside, you could kill the mother, and there the baby would be permitted. So when it comes out on its own, the baby is also going to be permitted to do shechita on yantif. You can't say that here, because if you kill it inside the mother, which is the treifa, it would not be permitted. So then, how come when the animal comes out and you do shechita on it, on that animal, you're allowed to do shechita on it on yantif? So you see what? That you see like the opinion of Rav Yochanan and Shmuel, that just like a animal that comes out of a treifa, you could do shechita on it, so too a chick that comes out of an egg that's hatched on yantif, you're allowed to do shechita on that chick.
But we wouldn't necessarily hold like that.
Right, so we'll see what we hold, but as we go. Right, we'll see as we go what's going to be. Fine. But let's first get to the end of this. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba v'itema Rav Yosef. So Rabba said, and some people say it was Rav Yosef. Shasik Rav. I don't know if we said those words. So Rav didn't have an answer to that question. He didn't have an answer. He just, that was a good question. If the animal that's born from a treifa, you could do shechita on it on yantif. So why is the egg that hatches
why
not
mature? You're not going to eat it anyway.
You can't eat it. That's born from.
Well, the animal, the baby is not a treifa. The mother is a treifa.
We're talking only about treifa.
No, the case is assuming
on the animal, right?
What?
Is that the sheet
on
the mother?
On the baby.
On the baby.
You're on the baby. Exactly. So the baby is not a treifa. Right? Assumingly, you obviously are looking at it afterwards. You look at the lungs and all the different parts. Fine. Let's say it's not a treifa. So you're allowed to eat that baby when it's born on yantif, even though its mother, it's not mutter agav its mother. It's not permissible because its mother was permissible and the mother existed before yantif. The mother was a treifa. What? Exactly. There is, so seemingly you don't need hachana, or you'll say like the or sameach, that in certain situations you don't need hachana, and therefore the chick that hatches from the egg should also be mutter. That's the question. So Rav didn't have an answer to this question: why the egg should be different than the animal that's born from the treifa. So Amar Rabba v'itema Rav Yosef, my time of shasik Rav. Why was Rav quiet? Right, shasik means he was silent. He didn't have an answer. Why was he silent? He could have given a good explanation. So it's like this. Basically, we said before that a mother that is a treifa, the mother is a treifa, and the animal's inside. So we said if you would kill the mother, right, so the animal would not become mutter, the baby inside of it, because the shechita didn't work on the mother, so it's not going to work on the baby inside of it. It doesn't work on the mother. The mother's a treifa. Shechita doesn't do anything to it. What?
Works in a sense.
What does it work for? I'm saying you can't eat it.
An animal, it's not gonna be in the vet. Like, won't have the same gender.
Okay, but I'm saying in terms of eating it, right? In terms of eating it,
no, it's gonna be awesome.
Either way, if you do shechita on a treifa, the animal still is usser to eat.
It's awesome, but it's still shechita.
Right, but when I'm saying shechita doesn't work, I mean in terms of eating it, right? So shechita doesn't work on the mother at all in terms of eating it. Right, because that's what we're focused on here. We're focused on eating it, right? So shechita doesn't work to matir the mother, and it doesn't work, and therefore it doesn't work to be matir the baby either. It doesn't work to be matir the baby that's inside the mother. Yet, if the baby, yeah.
What happens if, do you know the animal is pregnant?
Yeah, you know.
So why can't you say that I'm only preparing myself to eat the animal, and I don't care about...
Oh, that's coming. Very good. You basically gave the answer of the Gemara, which is good. That's what the Gemara is going to basically say. So the Gemara says, right, so again, if the animal's inside the treifa, so if you kill the mother who's the treifa, the animal itself, which is inside, is not going to become permitted. Yet, when the animal separates, right, you could get, and it's born on yantif, you could kill the baby and you could eat it. So why the chick which hatches, why can't you kill that, right? Just like the animal's not mutter because of its mother, so too the chick, it doesn't have a mother. It doesn't have a mother and it's disconnected from it. So therefore, you should still be allowed to kill it. You should still be allowed to kill the chick. So Rav didn't have an answer. So the Gemara says, why didn't he have an answer? There's a difference. And that's basically what you said, Steve. The baby that's inside the treifa, right, The mother it has no use in terms of us eating it, right? The mother is a trefa. It's a sick animal, and shechita is not going to work to make it mutter be'achila. You're not going to be able to eat it. But the mother does stand for some use, right? What use does the mother stand for? You could technically kill that mother and feed it to dogs. Right? You could give it, you could kill it, like shoot it or something, and feed it to dogs, right? So the mother exists in the world, and you could have hachana on it. You could have hachana on the mother to say, I want to use this animal, which is alive currently, before Yontif. You could think to yourself, I want to use this animal on Yontif. I want to kill it and give it to my dogs. So it exists in some senses that you could do hachana on it. And then, therefore, it exists to do hachana. And therefore, the baby, yes, you're not going to be able to eat it because of the mother, but you could maybe eat it because of the hachana on the mother. In other words, you do hachana on the mother, you do preparation on the mother to say, you're going to give that mother to the dogs on Yatif. And therefore, since you did hachana on that whole animal, when the baby comes out, you should be able to kill that animal because it has a proper preparation also because of its mother. So why doesn't the Gemara say that? That's the Gemara's question. In other words, why don't we answer for Rav, say the difference between the egg and that hatches and the baby that's born for a trefa is that the mother of the baby that's born from the trefa, the trefa itself, stands for some use. So you could do preparation on it, and then everything inside it also has the status of prepared, and therefore when the baby's born, you could do shechita on it and eat it. As opposed to the chick, which is inside the egg, there's no use for the chick inside the egg before it comes out.
Can you kill an animal on Yontif just to specifically give it to the dogs?
Yeah, you're allowed to feed your animals on Yontif.
But you're allowed to kill the other animal. That's the deal in the Shomai. You're allowed to do that. They kill the other animal for the purpose of dog food rather than just feeding the dog.
Let me just make sure. Let's see what Rashi says.
You want to cook it.
Right, so you might be correct. I might have made a mistake. It may not be that you're allowed to kill the animal. That if the animal dies, I said incorrectly. If the animal dies, you cannot kill an animal. You're allowed to feed your animals on Yontif, as we'll see later on. There's a Mishnah, huh? You have to feed your animals exactly, but you're not allowed to feed fish on Yontif. We'll see the distinction in a Mishnah later on in Beitza. We're talking about a case where the animal would die in Yontif. If the animal would die in Yontif, it's still not muksa, and you could give it to your dogs because of the fact that before Yontif, you had in mind that if it dies on Yontif, you can use it for your dogs. Therefore, since there's hachana on the mother in general, so therefore when the baby comes out, it also has hachana, and therefore that's why when you kill it, you're going to be able to eat it. So why don't you say that's the distinction between that case and the case of the chick, where there's no hachana, there's nothing there's no use. In other words, the difference is that there's use for the mother and the baby inside before Yontif, in the sense that you can assume that if it dies, you could give it to your dogs. So therefore, when the baby comes out, it has hachana, as opposed to the chick and the egg, where the egg has no use before Yontif, therefore you can't do hachana, therefore when it's born on Yontif, that's why Rav's going to say that the chick is usher and you can't do shechita on it, because there's no preparation at all.
You're assuming you couldn't feed the egg to the
dogs. Yeah, the assumption is you cannot feed the egg to the dogs, that's what Tosfos, I think, points out.
I think it's too far removed. I mean, how do you say to yourself, if this animal dies, I mean, this...
No, we're dealing with a sick animal, right? We're dealing with a sick animal.
With the concept of the 12 months, but so every Erev Shabbat or whatever or
Yontif,
you'd have to say I have in mind that.
Right, you would have to say that. You would have to say that. But again, when you see a sick animal, probably you would know that it's time. If like in other words, we don't live in a society where we deal with animals. If you live in a place where like you have animals, you probably know when it looks like it's going. You know.
Okay.
I mean, but when an animal's dying, right, just like human beings, there's like a death rattle. That, like, they know soon before the person's died that they're going to die. So too with animals, I'm sure that if you live with animals, that you work with them all the time, you probably know that. You could probably ask veterinarians, okay, the animal is not getting up, right? Like, for example, this actually comes up in Chulin, and it reminds me of a Mishnah in Chulin, that there's a whole question, if you kill a sick animal, was it dead already before you killed it? Right, let's say you kill an animal, you didn't check to see if it's dead or alive. So there's certain simonim, like I don't remember exactly all the simonim, but you know, like it has to wag its tail and stuff. So we say that an animal, and then there's a question of if it got up before you killed it. So again, sick animals might just lie there. Sick animals might just lie there. So you know when the animal is going to die. Fine.
You're going to eat live animals.
Now at this table.
So the Gemara now challenges the presumption that should work. What did we just say? We said, since the animal stands, when the baby's inside the mother, that animal stands to be fed to dogs if it dies on Yontif. So too, it has a proper achana, and so too, when the animal gives birth to the baby can be killed by humans and eaten on Yontif. So the Gemara challenges that presumption. Hashda muchem la'adam lo havi muchem l'klavim. Something that is prepared. I'm going to lay a bye. Hashda muchem la'adam lo havi muchem l'klavim. Something that is prepared for humans, for human consumption. Let's say for some reason it dies. Not a trefa. A case. It has to be a case where it's not a trefa. It's a regular animal. And you assume you're going to shecht it on Yontif, right? And then all of a sudden it dies. Can you feed it to your dogs? Well, you would say, since it's prepared for human consumption, so that preparation should work for dogs also. But that it doesn't work. Why? It's not mechatzlin at the dulun lefnei behema. If you have a gourd that you want to cut up, you can cut it up and give it to an animal. This is talking about on Shabbos, but Tosfos points out that this is also on Yontif. An animal that dies on Yontif, you're allowed to cut up and feed it to your dogs. Rabbi Huda mer im lo haisa nevela mer of Shabbos asura lefisha ena min amuchan. Rabbi Huda, which is the opinion we care about, says if the animal wasn't dead before Yontif, so you can't feed it to your animal. You can't feed it to your animals on. You can't feed it to your dogs on Yontif, right? So again, you have an animal that's healthy and then dies on Yontif, right? So the Tanakhama says you could feed it to your dogs. Rabbi Huda says no. If it wasn't dead before Yontif, so when it dies on Yontif, it lacks preparation to be fed to the dogs, even though it stood to be fed to humans because it was healthy, right? And then it stood on Yontif to kill it to be fed to humans. So it had hachana for humans' consumption. Since it didn't have hachana, preparation for dog consumption, because you didn't assume it was going to die, therefore, when it does die on Yontif, you can't feed it to your dog. So if something which has preparation for humans, if it dies, you can't feed it to your dogs because it's lacking preparation to dogs. So for sure, something that has preparation for dogs is not going to be called having preparation for humans. Therefore, an animal which is a trefa, right, which we said that when the baby's inside, the mother has hachana because it's prepared for dogs for tomorrow to eat, because it's going to die tomorrow, and you're going to be able to feed your dogs. That shouldn't be sufficient for when the baby comes out, to say that the baby also has preparation, because preparation for dogs is not called preparation for animals. Yeah.
Sean, though, would probably not agree with that, right?
Well, he disagrees with the whole concept of muksa in general, yeah, right? But there's, like, we pointed out earlier on that maybe he holds of nola, but not muksa. So it's a little bit outside of the scheme of the it's a little bit more Ian based. But
when you have it prepared for humans, isn't there a condition that when you examine the lungs or whatever, that if it has certain holes or adhesions or whatever, that in that event it's a trefa, and then you're gonna have to give it to your dogs or throw it out.
Right, but you wouldn't be. Apparently, you would not be allowed.
Also prepared.
You would not be allowed to give it to the dogs on Yontif. Apparently,
they would deny on your intent that if it's a trophy, you're going to give it to the dogs.
Could be. It could be. We're dealing with a case where it dies.
Well, unexpected.
Unexpectedly, right?
It's unexpected.
You're discussing more like if you're eating it, let's say you kill an animal, you shecht it, and then you're eating it at your table. Let's just say this is a simpler case, and then you want to feed a little bit of it to your dog. Is that okay? Probably that's okay. But we're talking about the case where you thought it would be for human consumption, and then it didn't become for human consumption. So yes, maybe in that case, based on what we're saying here, you would not be allowed to feed it to your dogs. Right, because since you had intent that it would be for human consumption, and you didn't realize that was your primary intent, therefore, when the animal dies, you can't feed it to your dogs. So if something that's prepared for humans can't be given to dogs on Yontif, something that's prepared for dogs, i.e. the mother, which is a trefa, so that hachana is not sufficient for the baby to allow it to be eaten by humans. That's basically what the Gemara says.
So Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on the Tanakhama.
Right.
How does he do that, though?
Right, there are two Tanaim who are arguing. There's two. They're both Tanaim. In other words, the Tanakhama is just the unnamed source. Sometimes we assume it's Rameir, usually. And he's arguing with Rabbi Huda. But they're both... There's two Rabbi Hudas. I mean, there are multiple Rabbi Hudas. There's three Rabbi Hudas. But Rabbi Huda, the Amora, is not... This is Rabbi Huda, the Tana. So he's from the Mishnah. So he's arguing with another person from the Mishnah. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Muchim leklavim habi muchim leadam." So, is something that's prepared for animals going to be considered prepared for humans? So, Right? So that's a question. In other words, you can't give the answer for Rav that the difference between an animal that's born from a trefa and an egg that hatches on Yontif is that the animal that was born for a trefa was prepared for dogs, so therefore it's prepared for humans. But that's, we said that that's not good. That's not a good answer. So that's why Rav was quiet, because we gave a good challenge on him. That something that's born from a trefa, which lacks hachana, the animal still mutter to eat on Yontif. So the egg which hatches should also be prepared and be permitted to eat on Yontif. Fine. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Le'in, Muchan La'adam lo havi Muchan La'klavim, Demay D'chazi La'inish lo shadi La'klavim. Muchan La'klavim havi Muchan La'adam D'dati D'inish ha'kom midi D'chazi Le'. So even though logic dictates that this shouldn't be true, we say that there is a difference. Something that is prepared for dogs is called prepared for humans. Why? Because human beings are always thinking about themselves. Right? So therefore, if the animal, for example, stands to be a trefa, you also have, and you're going to feed it to your dogs, the baby, you also have in mind that it's going to be for humans' consumption. So something that has hachana for dogs is called having hachana for humans. But something that has a hachana for humans, i.e., let's say the animal that's healthy, when it dies on Yontif, you can't give it to your dogs, because something that has hachana for humans, you don't think to give it to your dogs. Sorry, this is a little bit technical, but this... Yeah. Yeah, not from the same food. Not from the same food necessarily.
No, according to that, there shouldn't be no restriction. You should be able to get. It's like feeding your dog, in other words, to feed your dog.
Huh?
No, you're not allowed to. You can't eat without giving your dog
first. Yeah, but you could give other food to your dogs. You don't have to give the same. You don't have to give your same animal the same.
You don't give them steak.
Yeah. Tani kavasi the rav.
Trisket,
okay, so let's just keep going a little bit. Tanakh Kavasi de Rav, Tanakh Kavasi de Shmuel. So there's a brisa that was taught in accordance with the opinion of Rav that the chick that hatches is going to be forbidden on Yontif to kill and eat. And there's a brisa that goes according to Shmuel / Rav Yochanan that the chick that hatches is going to be permitted to eat. Tanakh Kavasi de Rav, Egel Shinola ben Yontif Mutter. An animal that's born on Yontif is permitted to do shchita on it because it was mutter because of its mother, as we know, right? And Ephrak Shinola ben Yontif Aser. And a chick that hatches on Yontif is going to be forbidden. This is the opinion of Rav, right? Umah hefresh bein zeh lezeh. What's the difference between the animal that's born on Yontif and the chick that hatches on Yontif? Zeh muchan agav imo b'shchita, v'zeh eino muchan agav imo. The chick, there is no mother, so therefore, when I say there is no mother, it means that it's disconnected from the mother. Right. It's not directly connected. It's laid. Then
it's born as a chick.
Right. It's not born as a chick. Exactly. So it lacks a mother for all intents and purposes, and therefore, since it can't become permitted based on its mother, and therefore when it hatches, it itself is usur. That's the opinion of Rav. While the animal has a mother, right, and therefore when it's inside the mother, it would be permitted because its mother can be killed. So therefore, when it comes out on Yontif, it itself also can be killed. That's the opinion of Rav, and that's a brisa that goes in according to the opinion of Rav. Tana kavasi the Shmuel v'tema Rav Yochanan. There's a brisa that goes according to Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, which is the other opinion that the egg that hatches is going to be permitted. Egel shenola b'yontif mutter, an animal that's born in Yontif is mutter. Ve'efrach shenola b'yontif is also mutter, right? Ve'efrach shenola b'yontif is mutter. My taima, what's the reasoning that both are mutter? Zeh muchan agavimo, the animal which is born is permitted based on its mother, as we said a million times. Zeh matir atzel v'shchita, and the chick that's born is lacking a mother, but the reason why it's permitted on Yontif when it hatches is because, since, as we said before, since it now becomes permitted to do shchita on it, so for some reason, again, it's hard to understand why, it loses its status of muksa, and also it now becomes permitted based on muksa. Very, very hard to understand. Okay. So it happens to be that the Gemara says, ultimately, as you see over here, there's a base where it says, Tana Kavasi Derav, right after that. I don't know if your Gemaras have that, but there's a base which points to the fact that that's the halacha. The halacha is a chick that hatches on Yontif is Aser. Like Rav. A chick that hatches on Yontif, we say it's Muksa, and therefore you can't kill it on Yontif. There are other reasons also, because we might, as we'll see soon, we might hold like the opinion that says you can't kill a chick anyways right away, because you have to wait till it opens its eyes.
So and it has nothing on it to eat. I don't even understand why we're even talking about it.
It's theoretical, don't worry about it. No. It's theoretical. It doesn't matter.
You're right.
Let's say you have a chick farm and like 100 chicks are born. That could be a lot.
The truth is, chicks are considered a delicacy somewhere. Yeah.
Chinese eat embryos in the
it's considered delicacy.
Okay.
I have to open its eyes, by the way. Where's the source of that?
It's coming right now.
Stay tuned.
Tana Rabbanan, Efrak Shanod Lev Biyantif is Usher. As we said before, this is the opinion we actually hold, like an egg that hatches on Yantif and a chick comes out. You cannot do shechita on it. It is usher to kill on Yantif because it lacks hachana from before Yantif. It lacks preparation from before Yantif. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer af bechol usher. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says even on a normal day, a chick that is born is forbidden because it has not opened its eyes yet. Why? Because it hasn't opened its eyes. In other words, there's a special distinction that exists between a chick and an animal, that an animal that is born, unless you're giving it as a korban, it is permitted to kill right away. As opposed to a chick, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that a bird, you basically need it to open its eyes before you can kill it. So not only on Yontif, where there's an issue of muksa, even on a normal day, you couldn't kill it right away because it hasn't opened its eyes.
His source? Coming.
Yeah, he did his homework. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, come on, Azla Haditanya, right? Who does this brisa go according to? We just said Apichol Asar Fishal Lo Niftchu Enav. Come on, Azla Haditanya. Well, who does this brisa go according to? Ditanya, the brisa says L'chol Hasharetz Hashoretz Al Haaretz. The pasuk says L'chol. Now, Kol is an inclusionary phrase. It comes to include something. Right, kol is everything, right? Kol hasharetz, hasharetz al haaretz, every creeping thing that crawls on the ground. The rabos, this pasuk comes to include efrochim shalonifteku enehem, chicks that haven't opened their eyes, that they have a status of a creeping thing that is not permitted in the Torah. Until they open their eyes, they have that status. So who does this brisa go according to? Obviously, it goes according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Kamanka Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Right, this goes according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who said, even on a normal day, a chick that is born on the first day or whatever, until it opens its eyes, is forbidden because of the fact that there's a pasuk that says, that anything that hasn't opened its eyes still has the status of a sheretz, which is not something that you're allowed to eat.
It takes a couple of days, at least, for them to open their eyes.
Right.
It's not on the same day they're born.
No, because you can't do shechita. It wouldn't have a status of, it's more lamdish, right? It wouldn't be a shechita. It wouldn't be called a shechita yet. Right.
No, but he's saying even on a regular day.
Right. Until you do it, it wouldn't become mutter to kill it. Fine. Let's just see. I would like to do a little bit more. Okay. Come on, Azla. Fine. So let's keep going. So Amarav Huna Amarav Beitza Im Yitziyasa Nigmara. So an egg, when it comes out, is finished. What does this mean? Mai Im Yitziyasa Nigmara. So when it comes out of the hen, the egg, when it comes out of the hen, is finished. In what halachic? What are we talking about? Yantif. So that's what the Gemara is asking right now. In other words, for what purpose are we saying this law? That the egg finishes its production as it's coming out of the hen. So maybe you'll say like this. And the egg inside the mother, right? The hen is at least midir abanon, and perhaps midir raisa is fleshach. There's a machlokas tanoim, whether chicken has the status of meat in terms of eating it with milk, right? There's one opinion that says it's deoraisa. We don't normally apaskin like that. We hold that it is dirabanon, that chicken with milk is dirabanon. So maybe you'll say that this law that we said, it finishes with it coming out, means that until the end point, it's still considered part of the hen, and therefore if you would kill the hen, the egg inside of it would not be allowed to eat, you'd not be allowed to eat it with milk. In other words, im yitziyas enigmara means it gets its status as its own entity to become permitted to eat with milk, this egg, when it's coming out. Before that, if you killed the hen, you would not be allowed to eat that egg with milk because it would be viewed as part of the chicken and then it would be viewed as meat.
Assuming that chicken counts as meat.
Right, I'm saying we always hold that chicken counts as meat. The question is, midoraisa.
Whether it counts as meat, or it counts as meat for milk and meat purposes, or it counts as meat for shechting purposes. It means shechita, but it doesn't necessarily go hand in hand. It could be the rabbanon is not allowed to eat chicken with milk.
Right, again, a chicken a chicken needs to be shechted. The difference between a bird.
But that doesn't mean that. Necessarily that milk and meat go together with the requirement for shechita.
No, they don't. They're not connected. They're not connected necessarily. But again, an egg, a chicken. There's a machlokas tanoim whether a chicken is called meat midiraisa or midirabana in terms of eating it with milk.
Right. Exactly.
In terms of it needing shechita, of course it needs shechita. The difference between killing a bird and killing an animal is that for a there are two. There's the windpipe and the esophagus. Right, so by an animal you have to cut both of them, the majority of both of those simonim, of the windpipe and the esophagus. By a bird, you only have to cut the majority of one.
Well, what are they called in Hebrew?
Kanon veshes. Yeah. So anyway, okay, but in terms of being meat. Right, so maybe the Gemara seems to say maybe the egg is called meat that you can't eat it with milk until it comes out of the hen.
I thought you were talking about an unfertilized egg, like its flesh inside and parm outside.
Well, we didn't specify, but the view is it is parv. Let's just say a parv egg that's not fertilized. But the fact is, as long as it's still in the mother, the assumption at this point in the Gemara is that it would still be viewed as part of the mother, and just like the mother can't be eating with milk, the hen. So too, the egg, which is inside of it, would not be able, even if it's separated, it has its own shell or whatever, would not be allowed to be eaten with milk.
Like the straight case with a chick already is more complicated. I mean,
well, a chick would not be allowed to eat.
It's parv anyway.
No, yeah, definitely a chick would not be allowed to be eaten with milk because it's meat.
Did we used to eat eggs? The chicken had these eggs that they used to sell
Okay, so we'll see. So you're being mechav into what the Gemara is about to say. So the Gemara says like this. So is that really true? So we're saying, is it only become pariv? The egg becomes pariv to be able to eat it with milk once it comes out, but before that, it's not pariv?
Right.
That's not true. But what do you mean by Tanya? Hashochet etzak tarnagolos. If you kill a hen, umatzupa beitzim gemurus mutaris lachem b'chalav. If you kill a hen and you find fully made eggs inside of the hen, you're allowed to eat those eggs with milk because they're already, even though they're inside the hen, they're still considered separate already, and therefore they're not considered part of the hen and meat. They're considered milk. You know what I'm saying? They're considered parif to be able to be eaten with milk. So this is what it means. So the statement must mean something else. Elaim yitziyasa nigmura mutaris lachem b'yantif. So what the statement means is that it finishes with it coming out, and therefore it's permitted to be eaten on Yontif. So what does that mean? So it means as long as it came out before Yontif, it's permitted to be eaten on Yontif because you know it was born before Yontif. It has hachana. If, however, it didn't come out until Yontif, then it would be aser, as Beis Hillel said. But the implication from this statement is that an egg that's found inside a hen on Yontif that you killed the hen would not be permitted. But we know that that's not true. What habib me imo asura, right? The implication is that the egg that comes out and it's on its own, and it comes out before Yontif, you're allowed to eat it on Yontif. The egg that's inside the mother that you kill on Yontif, you would not be allowed to eat that egg. But that's not true. Habim me'ima asur lachlab b'yantif. What do you mean? V'hatanya, Brisa says, a shochet as a tarnagolos. If you kill a hen, umatzuba beitzim gemurus motor lachem b'yantif. Right, but the Brisa says that if you kill a hen and you find eggs inside of it, you're allowed to eat those eggs on yantif. V'chite mokmash b'lam b'brisa ma'idah lo shamin b'masnisan. Right, hanami tanina. Right, so maybe you'll say, well, the Brisa is a wrong brisa. In other words, the brisa, there's no mishnah that says that if you find eggs inside of a hen that you kill on yantif, you're allowed to eat those eggs. There's no mishnah that says that. That's the assumption at this point. So therefore, the brisa is wrong. In other words, the rule is that at this point in the Gemara, that if an egg comes out before yantif, you're allowed to eat it on yantif, and if you kill a hen and you find eggs inside of it, you would be not allowed to eat those eggs. And the brisa says that you can is wrong. But that's not, how could you say the brisa is wrong? The mishnah seems to say that, right? But hanami tanina beitzah shenod b'yantif beishama rim tochal beishama rim lo sochal. That the Mishnah says, the first Mishnah of Beitzah says that if an egg is born on Yontif, it's laid on Yontif, it's a machlokas beishama and beishilo whether or not you're allowed to eat that egg. V'adkan lo pligi beishama and beishilo. The only machlokas between beishama and beishilo ela benolda is only when the egg is laid. Aval b'mei imo divrei kol sharian. Right. Sharian, I'm sorry, but when the egg is inside the mother, everyone agrees that the egg can be eaten if you kill the mother. So don't say that the egg that's inside the mother can't be eaten. We know that everyone agrees that it can be eaten. Okay, we'll stop here.
The egg is the egg obviously the egg with the shell?